Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to your Sunday night with Speed City. This is John Massengill. I'm sitting in the studio in Austin, and I am joined by Mr. Bob Varsha over Zoom. How are you, Mr. Varsha?
I'm doing great. I've been working on my Jonathan Green impression, but it's not quite ready yet. So in the meantime, my voice doesn't go that high. It's basically the problem. Yeah, there you go.
Well, we will hear from Jonathan Green later on because he's down in New Zealand for the Toyota Racing Series, which has now been renamed for this year as the Castrol Toyota Formula Regional Oceania Championship. And that's a mouthful.
Yeah, I want to find out who came up with that name and punch him in the nose. The Toyota Gazoo Racing New Zealand Formula Regional Oceania Championship.
Yeah, exactly.
What? Shut your mouth.
There's a bunch of good stuff with that, though, including a pile of super license points that are now part of that. So that's really cool.
Well,
I'm gonna run down what we're going to talk about because we have a cool show tonight. I'm very excited. We've got a lot more on the Andretti Cadillac Formula One story because we have Nathan Brown, who is with the IndyStar and with USA Today. And he's the guy that broke that story back on December 7th about that Michael Andretti saying that they would have news by Christmas. Well, they didn't quite make Christmas, but it wasn't long after that we all heard about the news with Andretti and Cadillac and General Motors. And so Nathan, it was so funny. When he broke that story, it really kind of gently broke. And I saw it the day we talked about it, started tweeting about it, and I was like, we need more followers because this is a huge story. So anyway, we've got Nathan Brown going to join us in the second segment today. And we're also going to talk a lot about the Rolex 24 because that's coming up on us fast. Really excited about that. I've been doing lots of digging in on the new GTP class with the LMDH hybrid system and lots of cool stuff with that. And speaking of the New Zealand championship, that Formula Regionals that down there, the Oceania, we have Chloe Chambers, an American, one of four Americans racing in their series down there this year. And we'll talk all about that series, because if you don't know about it, you should, because there's been lots of Formula One drivers that came through that little winter series on their path to stardom. So, but we've got Chloe Chambers, an American, one of four. So we're going to have her later on. And we have lots of Formula One stories, including comments from Toto Wolff. And we have an exclusive clip that I caught up with Bobby Epstein to ask him about the Andretti story and a couple other things. So we're going to hear from Bobby Epstein later in the show. But I want to start with the Rolex 24 at Daytona, because in a couple of weeks' time, that's going to be all the headlines. And Bob, I really am excited about it because there's lots of new cool stuff. We have a big field. There's lots of new technology. So I'm fired up about it.
I am too. IMSA has come a long way. They've gotten their arms linked with the folks from the Automobile Club of the West who organized the Le Mans 24 Hours. They have classes that now allow racers from the United States to go over there and race and vice versa. And as a result, this has got to be one of the best Rolex 24-hour events ever. Another incredible lineup of driving talent, not only in the brand new LMH, LMDH, or as IMSA chooses to call them, GTP, Grand Touring Prototype, which is a throwback to the early 80s when I got involved with sports car racing. And those were golden days. So they've got the new fancy hybrid prototypes, LMP2, LMP3, and two classes of GT Daytona. Those are the volume produced cars, Ferrari, Mercedes, what have you. And one class for highly trained and distinguished professionals, and the other for well-resourced but effective amateur drivers. It's going to be a terrific race, and I can't wait.
Well, you just talk about that last class. My son is a mechanic on the Inception McLaren team, and they're the only McLaren in the field this year of all those 61 cars. And I was talking to him yesterday and today. He came by my house and got some tools out of his shop, and they've got a pile of parts headed out there. And, you know, it's funny, before the show we were talking, Bob, about years ago how there used to be some kind of some ragtag teams. Well, you know, these guys in particular, this Inception team is a very, very well-equipped, well-organized team. And, you know, that's just the way it is in IMSA now, especially at a big one like Daytona. There are some, even the small teams have big resources and, I mean, even some big names involved in up and down. So it's not like the old days.
Yeah, you've got, at the pointy end of the spear, you've got two cars from Roger Penske, two cars from Chip Ganassi, one from the Mike Sharp team, the Acura team that has won this race a number of times, one new Acura from Wayne Taylor Racing, who has won the race a bunch. And you mentioned we used to have a lot of ragtag teams out there. Back in 1980, when I first started getting involved, we had something like 84 entries and 79 starters. And a lot of them were, like the boys who race for beers on a Saturday night. I mean, they get together and whack together a Chevy Camaro or something and go to Daytona and race with the big boys. But you can't do that anymore. Number one, the track can't allow it. Number two, the quality of cars is so good. I mean, you're racing Ferrari and Lamborghini and Corvette, not to mention all of the prototypes and the LMP3, which is the lowest prototype class, then LMP2. Both of those classes use a lot of common parts, common engines, chassis from designated chassis building companies. And then, of course, the stars of the show are the GTP cars from great manufacturers, great lineups of drivers, and, you know, the equivalent of close to 1,000 horsepower from these hybrid powertrains. So it's going to be just terrific. The only thing I wish they'd do is reverse the habit of the last decade or so and turn out the lights at the track at night. We used to race in the dark at Daytona. And this time of year, there's more dark than daylight, unlike Le Mans in June when it's mostly daylight. At Daytona, it gets, as an old friend of mine used to say, country dark. And the headlights flying around the high banks at 200 miles an hour. Cars trying to stay out of each other's way and looking for that looming GTP car rocketing up your butt. It's just the most exciting thing. And if it's not on anybody's bucket list within the sound of my voice, you really should check out the 24 hours of Daytona. Nobody sits in the grandstands. Everybody goes down to field level to push up against the fences and watch these cars go by within a stone's throw. Great stuff.
I know, Bob. I started inquiring about credentials and I decided that I just couldn't make the time to make it work. In fact, I even got a really nice email from them back going, hey, we know who you guys are and everything, but are you 100% sure you're coming? Because apparently it is a really tight place and they can only have so much media.
Yeah.
So I bowed out quickly. I just said, look, I was going to kind of come on a whim. I just said, don't worry about it. Don't worry. You know, so But one day I will get out there because I have never done it. And I definitely want to do that. But I took some notes on the new GTP class, Bob, with this, you know, with the new hybrid system. And it's a spec, basically core. They call it a spine, you know, like a tub, where it's got the Bosch mandated MGU, a common spec 7-speed X-Track, and then everybody just bolts on all their bodywork and liveries and I think suspensions like we talked about before the show. But I was noticing that the Porsche 963, which of course is a nod back to the mid-80s 962s, I noticed Porsche will sell you one for $2.9 million, basically a full package 963 LMDH car, and it includes a full factory support of a team. And I thought that was pretty cool. And one other thing that jumped out at me is how all the GTP cars now are using a VP Fuels, a renewable R80. And I tried to I spent 10 minutes digging, trying to find some more information and could not find anything yet. And I'm going to keep looking into that just for my own knowledge, because I want to find out how they're doing it. How they're making it renewable. Yeah. So,
well, it's a biofuel, essentially, I think. It's non-fossil based, if you will. And it's a direction a lot of series are going. I mean, the lower formula in European open wheel racing is going there. I'm sure down the road, IndyCar in this country will go there. Formula One, with the new engine regulations in 2026, I'm sure are going to be asked to switch to a sustainable fuel. It's it's an exciting development.
It's an exciting time, and I can't wait to see how all this plays out. Everything from, you know, how the sports car guys keep the ICE, the internal combustion engines, with maybe sustainable fuels along with hybrids and stuff. It's really going to be cool. All right, we are up against a break, and when we come back, we're going to have Nathan Brown with us from the Indy Star and USA Today. You're listening to your Sunday night with Speed City, and we'll be back after these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell FIA and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hi, this is Max Verstappen, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to your Sunday night with Speed City. I want to welcome to the show, I've become a fanboy of this gentleman because I started watching his, reading his coverage a couple, 3 years ago, really, and then really closely during the Andretti thing and the Andretti Cadillac developments. And Nathan Brown has really caught my attention. He writes for the Indy Star newspaper in the USA Today and has really done a great job. Nathan, welcome to Speed City.
Thank you guys for having me on this evening.
Well, we appreciate it. And you broke this story, Nathan. Correct me if I'm wrong. In my mind, you did, because on December 7th, you did an article about the new Andretti headquarters and that you had gotten to speak with several people at, including Michael Andretti, at this event. And you started talking about all things that I had never heard of, including Guggenheim and the fact, the big bomb was that you got Michael to say, we're hoping in the next couple of weeks, and it would be a nice Christmas present to have word about their Formula One efforts. Did I get that right? Did you break all that?
Yeah, that was correct. It was a great chance to talk to Michael. I hadn't gotten a chance to talk to him about their Formula One project in quite some time. And that was a great opportunity at their groundbreaking ceremony in Fishers to get a good update. His Christmas present, at least publicly, didn't come to fruition, but it was not more than a couple weeks before we got word that he and General Motors, specifically Cadillac, were pushing forward to try and submit an official entry to the expressions of interest process that the FIA is planning to open here soon. As I wrote there, as you mentioned there, they've got some great funding partners to build this $200 million facility that should be up and running here by early 2025. And as Mario Andretti said at that ceremony, they expect it to be one of the best motor racing facilities in the entire world. So excited to see what that looks like, and excited to see not only what types of racing teams they host there, but what kind of cars they might be building, including potentially for this Formula One project that they have up in the air right now.
Nathan, did Michael say anything about NASCAR at that opportunity you had to talk with him? Because I've seen quotes from him since that eventually NASCAR Cup racing is on his to-do list as well.
So it's funny. So at the time, you know, I didn't think a whole lot of, I talked to Michael a year ago, right when they were on the cusp of that Sauber deal that ended up falling through at the 11th hour. And he had talked, you know, at that time, just kind of about the process of building his race team. And we all know that, you know, he'd been close a couple times on a NASCAR project. And he'd said at that point, you know, that was just kind of generally always on their, you know, on their radar, but nothing super specific. But at that groundbreaking ceremony in early December, there was a Fishers city councilman that had a slip of the tongue and actually said that they were already in NASCAR. And I can't remember
a politician getting his facts mixed up.
Exactly. It was I think it was Michael that caught it first and said, well, we're not there yet, but Mario said, yeah, well, we could be there too. So, you know, it's certainly something that they're interested in. And I know the quotes that you're referring to that Forbes initially ran this week that said that that's something that they are keenly looking at, and certainly wouldn't be surprised if, you know, in a couple of years, along with their hopeful Formula One entry, if that was not a place that they were able to find a way to sneak into one way or the other.
Yeah. I have to confess, when I read the article and I saw they were going to build at the Indianapolis airport, I assumed that meant Indianapolis International. Mm-hmm. And all my Indianapolis friends laughed at me when I said that, because they said Fishers is northeast of the city, and it's the Indianapolis Metropolitan Airport. Now, is that airport capable enough, if that's the right phrase, to be a factor in what the Andretti Global operation does in terms of flying product in and out?
I don't think that airport is super important to that effect. Really, I think what it comes down to is that airport, whoever owns and operates it, has had a lot of land that over the last couple of years they've been hoping to be able to sell off, to continue to revitalize the and grow the city of Fishers and open up the that specific area of the city to some commercial development, some things in the city that could generate people flocking to it, whether it's restaurants or small shopping malls. And this Andretti project, with the fact that they're going to have this Italian restaurant and this museum and this amphitheater, it's going to be right on this multi-use walking, biking, running trail that they have there in Fishers. So it's going to be right in this hub of this up and coming area in this city, that I think will be really cool, because often you see, for folks that have been in Indianapolis, if you're driving around and kind of wondering where a lot of these race team shops that are located here, they're oftentimes in these business parks that aren't really super obvious. They're not in these great places where you can, notice them very easily. And the way I envision this Andretti Global facility here in a couple of years, I think it can be a really great center of activity for the Fishers community, which will be really cool to see, especially if, of course, they have a Formula One team that is primarily operating out of there.
Sounds like a good place for a test track right outside the back door.
Possibly. I'm sure they've got plenty of space for it.
Yeah, we've seen that kind of thing in Austin, Nathan. We've seen, my son took me to this place, and he's going, this is like one of the premier carbon fiber shops in town. And I pull up and like, this building? It's like this, it's a completely nondescript, and you go in and go, wow, it blows you away. But hey, I want to read a couple of those quotes we were just talking about from Michael Andretti, because the first ones where he talks about money, these were the ones that he said to Forbes earlier this week. I think it was like Monday or Tuesday. He says, it's all about money. He says, first, they're going to get diluted 1/10 of their prize money, but then they also get very greedy, thinking we'll take all the American sponsors as well. And that's, of course, Michael Andretti talking about all the other F1 teams. He said, it's all about greed and looking at themselves and not looking at what is best for the overall growth of the series. And this has been Michael's MO from I guess February. I guess this all started when Mario tweeted on February 15th or something last year that this was all going to happen. But then the other quote that he said was, he says, we've been working, he was talking about the announcement and how they chose to do the announcement when they did. And he said, we've been working on this announcement for a while, Cadillac GM. He says, but when the president of the FIA, Mohammed bin Salim, issued his tweet supporting our effort, that is when we decided to make the announcement. Once they make an expression of interest, then we are in competition with other teams. And that expression of interest, of course, is the official process. He says, we're on our way, because that means we will do an extra team. So it's been interesting to watch that. And as soon as I saw that tweet from Mohammed bin Salim, I think it was like on the Monday or Tuesday of that week, I immediately thought, okay. And then what was it, 48 hours later that Andretti announced it. But Nathan, I want to ask you some other things here. I wrote down some of the things that Andretti has done in the last year since Mario's tweet last year. And I put down the IPO funding, which hasn't been talked about recently. And maybe you can shed some light. Maybe that has something to do with Guggenheim or others. But they did the IPO funding. They broke ground on the new $200 million headquarters. They've started hiring staff. The news that they've partnered with Guggenheim, and they've partnered with GM and Cadillac. So they came out, and then they basically got, shunned by F1 and saying, by saying there's no news really at all, except that they're looking at it. So did I get that right? And did I miss any other major things that have happened?
I mean, I would say the only other really big thing, and we continue to hear it referenced, even 8-9 months later on that Michael was present at the Miami Grand Prix to the level of walking around the paddock with a sheet of paper that he was, although it was an informal petition that had no, you know, legal weight by any stretch of the imagination, was trying to garner the signatures of the team principals of the 10 current Formula One teams in the paddock, just essentially to symbolize that they supported his push to join the series in the near future. He famously, you know, only publicly on that document only got the signatures of Zach Brown from McLaren and Laurent Rossi from Alpine, which are the two teams that you would expect. You know, it's no secret that at least at some point, we're not sure right now where things stand, but at one point when Michael was planning to come in on his own, that they would have an engine deal with Renault Alpine's team. And of course, Michael and Zach go way back and are partners with the Australian Supercars team, Walkinshaw and Andretti. So there's, you know, there's, I guess that was the biggest thing. We've heard some vague references from some reporters over in Europe about how folks, either the team principals or officials in the Formula One management group with Liberty Media, that haven't been super happy with the way that Michael has gone about trying to garner support for this project. And I think that was a really big lightning rod moment where, you know, he's being very public, was going out literally in the open. I was really the first person that was able to kind of see and spot him in the paddock in Miami, and frankly just walked up to him and, you know, and asked what he was doing. He showed us the document, and it was an interesting way to go about things. Very public, very open, very honest. Something that drew a good amount of media attention. And frankly, I think there are still some folks in that paddock that were just rubbed the wrong way about trying to use the public from a pressure standpoint or from a media standpoint to try and continue to push to try to get this across the finish line. And for whatever reason, there's a lot of folks over there that haven't been super happy that that was the way he went about things.
Yeah, that's so American. We don't knock on doors, we kick them in. And I've had a lot of experience with that over the years in international motorsports. But there were a couple of other things that were mentioned in some of the many articles that you mentioned, Nathan, being written. One was that a lot of the teams think a $200 million dilution fund, if you want to call it, is nothing compared to what it costs compared with other major sports around the world. I mean, you try to get into you know, Premier League soccer, or just here in the United States domestically, NBA, NHL, NFL, Major League Baseball, it shouldn't be a $200 million entrance fee. It should be a $600 million entrance fee, because that's what, those are the kinds of numbers they deal with. And I was particularly struck, and we'll hear from Toto Wolff later on, about how Andretti has, if I'm hearing him right, has done exactly the right thing. We needed to know what kind of impact they were going to have on the sport. They've got GM and Cadillac. That's a statement. That that's the kind of thing we're looking for. I think they were worried that Cadillac was going to put a, you know, $20 million name on someone else's engine and get the benefits of Formula One. But apparently Toto and hopefully others have been educated to the fact that Cadillac really is in this with both hands and both feet. Is that the impression you get?
I mean, that was the impression that I got from the initial press conference that we had just a little over a week ago. You know, though they didn't have maybe a ton of specific details, they were open and honest and said, you know, when we come in, whenever we are given entry to the sport, we will, you know, we already have a signed agreement with another engine manufacturer that we will use to kick off our program. But as the years go by, you know, I'm obviously summarizing here, they said that they have plans to ramp up, and it was also not as if they were planning to just use this as a marketing ploy. You know, they referenced a couple different technological centers here in the US, one in Michigan, one in North Carolina, that they planned to you know, both help Andretti build cars out of, and also, I believe, assist whatever engine manufacturer that they had signed on with to produce that technology and get it to the level that it needs to be in Formula One. So I certainly never felt like this was GM just coming in to write whatever check it would cost to slap a sticker on and call this engine their own. But that was, from some of the articles that came out a couple, over that weekend and into Monday of last week, from some reporters that were talking to folks inside the current Formula One paddock, that was definitely the sentiment that they got, at least. I didn't come across that way. I don't know why. That was just the general assumption. We don't have the specifics of Andretti's project, and I would assume that they maybe don't necessarily either. There's expressions of interest process hasn't opened up, so I'm sure whenever that does, Michael and General Motors and their team will, I'm sure, have a very specific plan to present to the FIA and Formula One management team about exactly how they plan to go about this, but that was never something that was made public. So I really do feel like that was a lot of assumptions from folks and some rumors that really kind of took off when I don't know that there are a whole lot of people out there that really truly know exactly the 5 or say maybe even 10 year plan of what Andretti Global and General Motors are hoping to do with this if they were to gain entry in a couple years.
Yeah, it's interesting because you talked about the power units. As soon as this came out, I thought, okay, they signed the deal with Renault. They'd done a deal, but then I looked up the relationships with Renault and GM, and then I saw that last year that Renault and Nissan, who had that longtime relationship, and GM kind of broke up. They had a divorce of sorts. And then I noticed that Honda and GM had just signed a big new agreement to do with electric vehicles. And, you know, Cadillac has had a lot of traction, no pun intended, with the new electric Lyriq. And, you know, and even this flagship Cadillac, and they're all going to be electric. And you think about what's about to happen in Formula One with the new power units having more and more electric power. So I think that makes sense for GM to spend a lot more money in engineering in Formula One. I think it's going to be, if I'm remembering correctly, it's like 60% electric power now in Formula One starting in 26. But because of that Honda relationship that they just signed, I thought, okay, this looks like Honda, but we have no idea. Obviously, nobody knows for sure. But I really thought that was really interesting. But well, Nathan, we're almost done with this segment, but if you've got any other thoughts before we let you go, I know you said you could stay with us for a segment. So anything else you can think of on this story?
Let me think here. I mean, I think this is certainly something that's not going to go away. I think we're going to continue to see ebbs and flows of this storyline, certainly whenever Michael and his team at Andretti Global get the green light to actually submit their program to this expressions of interest process that the FIA, I think, says will take a couple months. That'll be, I certainly think that the FIA will do their due diligence. Certainly seems like the president is generally in support of what Michael is doing, but this will be a time where everyone at the FIA will get a full idea of what they have in store. And then it's really going to come down to how Michael can try to get the decision makers at the Formula One management group, what we think of as Formula One specifically, how he can get them on their side. As we've seen through some of their statements and quotes on the record that Stefano Domenicali and some others have given, they've pushed back at the idea that they even need another team whenever Michael has been solely on the forefront. And then as he's continued to gain momentum, as some other teams and operations are in the background, kind of rumored to be looking at Formula One in a couple years, there's now been the idea that, they're pushing this idea that Andretti is not the only one looking at this. So I think it's going to be incredibly important that Michael can get some of those big wigs, those decision makers at Formula One on his side. It's not necessarily team principals, but it's really those folks that run the commercial arm of Formula One. And if that doesn't happen, I don't know that this goes through. So I think hopefully we will see him take a little bit of a different approach. And maybe once a lot more of these facts about exactly how he plans to run this come to the surface, at least privately behind the scenes and those presentations he gives those folks, those will be the key moments that we will, where we will see whether or not we see this team push through to the finish line in a couple of years.
Well, speaking of,
is this going to be your beat going forward, Nathan?
What was that?
Is this going to be your beat going forward, the Andretti saga?
You know, it certainly will continue to be every moment that you know, this, we kind of see twists and turns in the road. This will be something I will be paying a lot of attention to as I continue to put a lot of my time and effort into IndyCar. That's my main beat, but anything that Andretti has to do anywhere in this motorsports world, particularly in Formula One, because it's so big here, it's just a no-brainer of something that we'll be paying a lot of attention to at IndyStar, and we'll continue to have news and thoughts, analysis, and hopefully be answering some questions for folks about how this process is going to continue to go.
Well, Nathan, thank you so much. And if you're watching and listening, you follow Nathan because he has some fantastic information. Like I said, he broke the story. And Nathan, I don't think I've done a show since last year, February, that we haven't mentioned Andretti Formula One. So we follow this very closely and we will keep an eye. I'm going to set your Twitter on notifications so it pops up on my phone every time you tweet. Thank you.
Where can people follow you, Nathan?
Yeah. How do they
What's your handle? Where can people?
Yeah, on Twitter, but @by_NathanBrown is my Twitter handle. And you can read all of my content at IndyStar.com. We will continue. I'll actually plan to have another update on this Andretti story, at least one, if not more, later this week. So if that's a story that you're keenly interested in, please continue to check back there and follow my Twitter account, and we will continue to monitor the story as it develops.
Awesome. Nathan, thank you very much. We appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
All right, everybody, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have some more Formula One stories and more. You're listening to Sunday Night with Speed City, back after these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. Power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hello,
I'm Jenny Gow from BBC F1. You are listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Yes, that was Jenny Gow that brought us back. And we've had Jenny on the show before, but if you haven't heard, she had a really traumatic medical event happened. And I think I can get the producer to put this tweet up on the screen if you're watching on YouTube, but I'm going to read her tweet because it was pretty emotional. She says, "Hi, everyone. Been quiet the last few weeks. This is because I suffered a serious stroke 2 weeks ago. My husband is helping me type this as I'm finding it hard to write and my speech is most affected. I'm desperate to make a full recovery and turn to work, but it might take some time. Thank you to the medical teams at Frimley and St. George's and my families and friends who've got me through the last fortnight." And that was really a shock because I know Jenny's, you know, relatively young. I don't know exactly how old she is, but mm-hmm. You know, you think of a stroke as being something typically someone older, but I really was taken aback and really want to wish her thoughts and prayers to get better. Cause I mean, people started like on comments galore immediately on our channels too. So
yeah. I worked with Jenny at the Race of Champions in Miami a few years back. And she's a wonderful person. She says she's having trouble writing and speaking. That is the crux of what Jenny does. Yep. She is a journalist. So this is a tremendous blow. She is also a wife and a mother and a daughter and on and on and on. And so this is a tremendously upsetting thing, not only for the motorsports community, but for her family as well. So yeah, our thoughts are all with Jenny and we wish her a very quick and complete recovery.
Yeah, we'll be keeping you guys updated on that. All right, well, let's move on because I got to catch up with Bobby Epstein the other day and I texted him and I said, "Hey, Bobby, give me a call about this Andretti story. I want to get your comments." And of course, I'm driving down the interstate when Bobby calls me. So I whip over to the side of the road and I put my iPhone on speaker and I turn on the recording device on my iWatch and I got his comments because he said, "I'm about to go to meeting after meeting." And of course, being the CEO of a massive organization, he doesn't have time to mess around with me. So I did get to get a few minutes with Bobby Epstein and let's hear those now.
I think the partnership's a beautiful move by the Andretti Group, and it's a brilliant decision by Cadillac to join up. Cadillac has a history with racing that goes back even farther than the Andretti's. I think they started racing in the 50s, and they have a brand that constantly pursues the relevance that a younger demographic, I think, brings that they're trying to reach. So I think it's fantastic, and it meets the criteria, I think, that F1's dream of growing in the Americas and in the U.S. I mean, they got both the manufacturer and the pedigree. It seems to be a perfect alignment.
Well, there's a lot of buzz about the Drive to Survive and how that's driven a lot of influence about the growth of Formula in the United States. But you guys have made a massive influence on this. How much influence do you think you've had on all this new growth and even on this decision by Cadillac to partner with Andretti?
I think we gave them a cornerstone to build on, and you've got to start somewhere. And that cornerstone's a pretty good starting spot. And I think we built, as much as trying to build the popularity of the sport, the best we could really do was build an event. And I think we created a great event, and it's well received. And then for the sport, the things that F1 has done and things Netflix has done to expose the sport to more to a wider audience has been something that we've benefited from.
You know, Bobby, the last couple of years, you guys have had unbelievable record crowds, biggest of all time, 400,000 and then 440,000. If this Andretti Cadillac deal does go through, I'm kind of joking, but just how many people could you guys fit in your many acres that you have out there?
Well, we stopped selling last year, not because our capacity ran out around the track, but we stopped because the roads we know around us, we wanted to see how they hold up. We got one new road, get another new one, we can go higher. And just getting people to take the buses and to prove that system works and that we have and get our food service right. And those are the logistics that we have to work out. And I think we've made great progress there. And so we can certainly go higher.
Well, any final thoughts on this Andretti-Cadillac partnership, Bobby? Because we couldn't be more excited about it.
Well, we couldn't be more excited about it either. I mean, Mario was our original ambassador and the first guy to drive on the track. And he had great things to say about what was built here, both for the fans and the drivers. So our relationship there is a really good one. And we're so fond of those guys that I don't think they could have picked a better partner. And we're so excited about it.
Well, thanks, Bobby. I appreciate it. Yeah, congrats to you guys on this, because it's going to be a good thing for you. And we'll talk soon.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, I like what he said about how COTA gave F1 a cornerstone. I know that maybe seemed like a stretch to some people, but if you just think back to 2012, or really 2010, when they started planning all this, and then they built a permanent home for Formula One in the United States, they showed that they were smart and flexible, because it started off like a bang, and then it kind of softened a little bit, and then they figured out how to build the show around it and grow it and grow it. And then Liberty Media came in, and, you know, this was 7 years later from the genesis of COTA, and bought the series. So I don't think that's too much of a stretch, but I just wanted to get Bobby's take on it, because, like I said, of our excitement. And I'd forgotten that Mario had been the ambassador. I knew he was for at least a year or two there.
Yeah, he's, as the CEO, president, whatever his title is, at Circuit of the Americas, Bobby Epstein has certainly contributed to the growth of Formula One in the United States in a very big way. And he's in an interesting position now, because Circuit of the Americas is basically the cornerstone of a three-race tour of America, if you will, for the World Championship. And I think it's, in the space of a decade, it's become sort of the grand dam of the Formula One circuits in the United States, the way places like Watkins Glen used to be. Mm-hmm. And I hope that continues. While Miami and Las Vegas bring a lot of glitz to the game, being basically street circuits, temporary circuits, Circuit of the Americas sits out there on the prairie, or whatever you'll call it there in Texas. And it's a very different kind of environment. You know, it's cowboy country. It's UT Longhorns. It's whatever you'd like to make of it. You know, great motorsports traditions in Texas. AJ Foyt, Jim yeah. Hall, the Labonte brothers, and on and on and on. There's a lot there to enjoy in Texas. And thanks to Bobby and his staff for, you know, bringing it to us.
Yeah. And I remember the first time when the announcement came that day, I jumped in my car and drove out to that pasture, I would have called it. It was a cow pasture, and there wasn't anything out there. It looks quite different. Well, hey, we got a couple of stories that I don't want to miss before we go to the next segment. One of them is Williams' announcement about their new team, the new executive. What do you think about this, Bob?
I think it's a great choice. James Vowles has been a chief strategist for Mercedes Formula One team through all of their championships. So he's obviously impeccably credentialed for that role, but now he's going to take on a team principal role. He's going to be able to spread his wings in the way that most ambitious young Formula One engineers, if you will, and executives want to do. And I think he's going to do a great job. I think it speaks volumes for Toto Wolff and Mercedes that they were happy to send him on his way, kind of like, you know, pushing the young ones out of the nest. They're like famous coaches in football here yeah. in the United States, out of coaching tree, and they send out, you know, former assistants who become great head coaches in their own right. I think there's a really useful metaphor there. And I don't think James Vowles will be the last guy to leave Mercedes for greater ambitions.
That's a great, the coaching analogy, how, you know, you've got Belichick and all the people that work for him and at Alabama. I can't even remember that. But anyway, that's a Bear Bryant, but after Bear, the current coach, Nick Saban. Yeah. So
Nick Saban.
But yeah, great analogy. Well, hey, I want to shift gears before we go to the next segment. We have a guest in our next segment, but this is a good lead in because she is down in New Zealand, and Jonathan and I we caught up a little bit earlier today. And he gave us a little prep for this next segment. Let's hear from Jonathan.
But It's all Toyota Racing down in New Zealand, and it's awesome. You've been there for many years. It's a great place to see young and upcoming drivers.
Yeah, and it really is back with a vengeance because for the last couple of years under COVID, obviously New Zealand very clamped down, but it's great to have international racing. We've got stars from Brazil, Britain, Australia, New Zealand, and four drivers from America. The first time we've had so many drivers from America. So really exciting.
That's a big deal. We got four. I mean, there's occasionally been one. I don't think we've ever had more than what, maybe two, but this is cool to have four young Americans.
Yeah, and we've certainly not had an American winning the feature race and now leading the championship after the first round here at Highlands Park on the Southern Island after the weekend's racing.
Well, yeah, let's talk about what's gone on so far. I mean, because give everybody an overview of the series, how it's basically a whole season compressed into like 5 weeks.
Yeah, as you mentioned, it's now the Formula Regional Oceania Series, but that might be a bit of a mouthful, but more importantly, it carries 18 super license points for the winner over 5 weeks. Now, that sounds like too easy, but it is 15 races over 5 weeks, race after, weekend after weekend. So straight from here in Highlands, we've done three races. We're now going south again to the southernmost tip of New Zealand, and we're doing three more races. So it's pretty intense and mentally very fatiguing and physically very fatiguing for the drivers. But it's a full season in just 5 weeks. And like you say, you're halfway to Formula One if you win it.
Yep, you just stole what I was going to say, halfway there. Well, so talk about how many races have gone on so far, who's leading what, how are the Americans doing?
Yeah, we have had three races. The first race was won by New Zealander Callum Hedge, who's also been a champion in New Zealand in tin tops before now, but he's still a youngster at just 19. But he's looked very good. If anybody was a favorite right now, I'd say it was Callum. He had a DNF, unfortunately. He got a bent rocker in the third race. So he's not leading the championship, but he's been fastest every session and won the first race and was pole for the feature race. So just shows you. The second race was won by, they do a reverse grid of the top eight in each of the second races. And the second race was also won by a Kiwi, James Penrose, who is sponsored by Castrol. And he's probably the oldest driver in the championship. But so he's got a victory. But the big exciting news is that the third and final race of the weekend, the feature race, was won by David Morales of Florida. David's been racing in the UK in GP3. He also did the Asian F3 series. He's a great character. You'll love him. And he is just firing on all cylinders. His first ever win on this international scene. And watch out. Here he comes.
All right. So how about our young Austinite, Ryan Sheehan? And of course, Chloe Chambers, we'll talk about her because she's coming up next after the break.
Ryan doing great. He's driving for Giles Motorsport, Stephen Giles, who he drove with and engineered by in the USA. He had a good weekend, but he made one mistake in race one and it cost him because he got just too wide into one corner, got stuck out on the marbles and then just dinged the side of the car. And that brought out the safety car. So he didn't get a finish, therefore had to start at the back for race two, but he came through. And in the third race, he was fighting with Jacob Abel, the other American from Kentucky, who is the Indy Lights star. So Ryan actually held his own pretty good against a very experienced 21-year-old. So hats off to the Austinite, good stuff. And as you say, Chloe's coming on the show. Ask her about her blisters. But she's doing good. She got into the top five at one point in the final race, but she's progressing slowly. And that's really what this championship's all about. Everybody talks about winning championships, but in 5 weeks, it's hard. And really, it's just a learning curve to get ready for the season ahead. And she is looking to do the W season again. She was teammate with Jamie Chadwick, of course, last year.
It's good to see you, my friend. And we're going to let you go because we're going to go to the break and hear from Chloe Chambers.
Great. Next race is coming up in just a couple of days. We'll be at the southernmost point of the world.
All right, Johnny, talk to you soon.
All right, man.
That's right. Jonathan said where they go next, they're going to be looking out onto the towards Antarctica next. But hey, guys, I talked to the producer and we can skip the break. We've gotten all the messages from our sponsors in. So we're going to skip the break and we're going to bring on our guest, Chloe Chambers. And I'm waiting for the thumbs up from the producer to make sure she is connected. And it looks like we've got Oh, she's got camera issues on Zoom and stuff.
So there you go.
Wait, there she is.
She had to unmute herself, like all of us.
like everybody since the pandemic. Chloe, thank you for joining us on Speed City. We're excited to have you.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Well, we've been I've been studying your story. Your name has been on my radar for a little while here, but I've been studying your story a little bit, and it's really fascinating. And I know that this deal going down to New Zealand for the Toyota Racing Series, and now that they've changed it and having super license points, this is really exciting. But before we get there, why don't you give everybody a little bit about your background?
Yeah, so I started racing go-karts when I was 8 years old. Well, before that, mainly the interest in motorsports had come through my dad, and he was a big Formula One fan, and obviously he enjoyed watching it on the weekends, and so I would join in on that as well. And then he also had a track car that he would go out and do track days and autocross days in, so I would kind of tag along in those, and I did that all through growing up. And then eventually I got bored and wanted to start driving myself, and my parents did some research and they found a kart track near my house, and basically I started racing that next year.
Well, you've clearly had some success. You've got a couple of really cool accomplishments. You've had you've been in the W Series, and you also has set a world record. Am I right about that?
Yes.
What was that in? What was that? What kind of car, and what was the record?
Yeah, so the record, it was for the fastest vehicular slalom, and I did it in a Porsche 718 Spyder back in 2020.
Ah, nice. Well, so
Chloe, that our friend Jonathan talked about blisters. We have to ask you about blisters. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I would say Highlands is probably one of the most difficult tracks to learn in general. And then just physically, it was probably one of the more difficult ones, especially with how much track time we have. So yeah, I got a blister on one of my hands, but I mean, I've, you know, gotten them almost every time I've raced. So it's nothing really new, but yeah, hopefully it's healed by next weekend. It should be, but yeah.
Well, let's talk about what's going on down there in New Zealand and why you're there. Why did you choose to do this?
Well, I came and tested back in September last year. That was in the middle of the summer break for W Series, and W Series throughout last year had borrowed these exact cars, the Toyota FT60s, for two of the W Series rounds. And the other cars that we ran are very similar. So it was the best track time for me at that time of year. And then it kind of gave me the confidence to come and do the series in the winter time for everywhere else, basically. And so, it's one of the only series that runs at this time of year. It's in a car that I can develop in, and it's a car that I'm familiar in. So to prepare for, you know, whatever my 2023 holds, the Toyota Racing Series or the CT Frock now is the best place for me to come at this point.
Mm. Hey,
Chloe, what are you hearing about the W Series? Will it be back, and will you be a part of it if it is?
So right now, not much is known about calendar or anything. I do know that we're supposed to hear some more in the coming months or so. And so at that time, I'll probably know more. I believe the series is still going to happen. Not entirely sure about calendar or anything, but if it does happen, I plan to be back, as last year was only my first year in it. So, you know, just have another crack at it. And, you know, obviously it helped to further my development. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens with it. But, yeah, I look forward to doing it if it does come back. Mm.
You know, Chloe, this series is such great experience. For example, if you don't do W Series, where do you think that this will help you go in your career?
So I would say, obviously, it's a Formula Regional spec car. Basically, FIA F3 would be the next step for me, and the step before FIA F3 is Formula Regional. So for me, the plan is to get into FIA F3 for 2025. So this year and next year, I am just going to try to get as much testing as I can in Formula Regional spec machinery, whether that's the European Formula Regional, Formula Regional Oceania, you know, just kind of whatever I can get into that'll prepare me for the next step.
We're running out of time, Chloe, but I've got to ask you, I met your team owner, Ms. Jenner, when she was Bruce Jenner Olympic champion and racing driver, and quite a decent one too. Have you had much back and forth with your boss about race driving?
And we have less than a minute left.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously Caitlin loves race cars. She loves sports. She's got a lot of experience in it, and also being such a high profile person in general, just like, I guess, celebrity, you could say. And so I guess the insights that she's had in that kind of world is all new to me. So, you know, whatever kind of advice she's given me has definitely been a big help.
All right. Well, we really appreciate it, Chloe. We appreciate you coming on, but best of luck to you down there. And we're going to be watching because there's lots of racing to come. I want to thank you for coming on. Thank all of our guests, and thanks to everyone listening. And we will talk to you next Sunday night.
Thanks, Chloe.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.